How are you doing? How are things in Peru?
Okay, I mean, the political situation is not the greatest, but it's okay. I mean, we know that and have been pretty much become used to it. Although it is hilarious to see how this country is going down the drain. I've talked to many people, Peruvians who lived here. You know, when I first came about 40 years ago, it was a different place. Today, it's been deteriorating to a point where, corruption is just so far you don't want to get in touch with any policeman because he corrupts you. It is just, and that's the lower level. At the higher level, it's much more primitive, and there are millions, if not billions, of dollars involved. And the lady who runs the show, it has been, of course, she is a scholar of Klaus Schwab's, and she is right now at the WEF in Davos. Why the country goes to pits.
What happened to your nose? Did you have a little tumor removed or?
That's the beginning of it. Yes, I had a little tumor, and yesterday I had to go to take a biopsy. And I don't know the result yet, but I hope it's nothing bad because I've had that for many years. But it's gotten.
People who get a lot of sunshine like you and I got a lot of sunshine when I was younger. We get a lot of, non-malignant tumors, basal cell carcinomas and squamous cell carcinomas, and they don't kill you, but but people who don't get a lot of sun, people who hide from the sun, they have a much higher incidence of melanoma. And of course, melanoma is deadly.
That can be
So
deadly, right? Yes.
I think it's probably going to be a basal cell carcinoma. They always are. I mean, I'm covered with them. I'm just covered. I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of them burned off,
I have them too. I have them on top of my head. Since I still have some hair, you can't see them, but I feel them. And some of them have been burned off. And this one, I don't know. I don't know yet. But I'm not too scared. I think I'm fine. I've gotten a lot of sun while I was young. And of course, it plays out when you get old.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's the fact that you got a lot of sun would suggest, I think it's there's a 99% chance it's a basal cell carcinoma and they'll just burn it off or cut it off. So, all right. Well, do you want to talk about the Middle East today?
Well, we can talk about anything you'd like. Yes, the Middle East. We can also talk about this hilarious and actually great decision of Donald Trump within 8 hours of being signed in with a special order exiting WHO.
That was pretty amazing. I have not had a chance to read his inaugural speech. Did you read it?
Parts of it. I
Yeah,
mean,
okay.
I heard parts of it rather than reading it. And of course, it's a Donald Trump speech, but if he holds on to what he is saying, then maybe we are in for a little bit of change everywhere.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. I think he also one of his first acts was to declare that in the United States you can only be a male or a female. You can't be anything other than a male or a female. Is that also true?
Right. One of the executive orders was to get rid immediately of the woke agenda.
And also, what about did he sign an executive order to ban birth on American soil, where you can no longer automatically be an American by being born born on American soil. Is that another one of the things that he did? I don't know. That's what he
Right, I've
promised.
heard about it, but I don't know whether he signed an executive order. But I've
Okay.
heard about the comments on it that this may be very severe because I think it's somewhere in the Constitution, so might be not that easy to push through. I'm not sure whether he signed an
Oh,
executive
okay.
order.
I think it might be in the Constitution. You're right. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Anybody born any you know the yeah, if you want to be a president, you have to be born on American
Exactly.
soil, and
Exactly.
we'll see how that. Well, they need to pass it, and France needs to pass it. All of Europe needs to pass it. I think Switzerland, you can't be born on the soil. You can't be Swiss if you're born in Switzerland, right? You have to go through all the administrative hoops to become a Swiss citizen, right?
Right.
And I
I think in
think,
most of Europe it's still that way, isn't it?
I don't know. I think Germany's been that way for a long time.
And France?
Oh no, France, if you're born on French soil, you're French.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's terrible. So people are just
Oh,
people from the south of France and from the east of France flood in here, get pregnant, get all of their medical expenses paid for by the taxpayers, to have the child. Everything's paid for with the nice French socialist medical system, which is being completely debauched and destroyed by unlimited mass migration. And
yes.
then they're born on French soil, and the child is automatically French. So that
Yes, I mean
they
this
need to
is
change that.
especially, this is especially true with all the immigrants from the south, and it's exactly the same in the United States,
And the East. We've got
and the.
Ukrainians and people from countries all over the Middle East, and it's just unbelievable. We're just overwhelmed, overrun with mass migrants in France. It's just awful. And it's not just France, but also England. Western Europe in general, other than Switzerland, because you all control your borders. But the Schengen Europe, the Schengen zone is just literally overwhelmed with mass migrants, and it's just awful.
Well, you
So,
know, Switzerland is also a member of Schengen.
so people can just drive into Switzerland?
Yes. So
Switzerland is
for example,
Schengen?
when I come back from Peru,
Oh, I didn't know that.
I go through customs in France because I land first in France. And from there's no more customs check when I get into Switzerland. It's like being home.
Oh no, that's terrible for Switzerland. Oh no. Oh no, that's awful. Well, tell us what you think's going on in the Middle East, or what is now fashionably called West Asia, which is really a more accurate term. What's going on? What's going on in West Asia, the Middle East?
What's going on? Well, what has been going on so far? You know, the latest is this so-called ceasefire agreement that somehow a team that Trump sent to Doha apparently managed to achieve. Obviously, Trump must have talked to Netanyahu before. He must have made a deal before with him. And I don't know how long this deal is going to hold and what the deal really contains. My speculation is that it could easily say, look, if you do this, at least for now, I think originally it is for 46 days, and nobody talks about the rest, even though the phases, it has about three phases, this deal would last obviously much, much longer, probably several years. And therefore, you know, the saying that it will be over in 46 days, I don't think that's feasible. But anyway, what he may have said, look, and he has always been threatening Iran. He could easily say, well, if you do that, at least for the next couple of months or so, so that some of the Gazan people can get rescued, either leave or get out into Egypt, and some have already left into Egypt. Then, well, we'll help you with Iran. That could be something. I don't know, it's speculation, but that could be something because Iran, next to Syria, is of course next on Netanyahu's list, and that would be horrifying. I mean, even more so than what he has done or allowed to do in Syria. Now, another scenario is that he will push, that Netanyahu will open the borders to Egypt, that he may have made a deal, most probably, that the remaining Gazan citizens would be pushed out into the Sinai. And since at least a couple of years or so, Egypt has built tent cities in the Sinai. You hardly see them, but ever so often you see a satellite picture which shows them. And these tent cities would be to accommodate the Gazan citizens that eventually leave. And that's maybe one of the plans that Netanyahu has, to still take control of all of Gaza. I mean, there are many reasons for doing that for him, obviously, other than getting rid of the Palestinians altogether. And the key reason is the Greater Israel, the expansion into the Greater Israel. All of us have seen maps of that, and they don't hide these maps. If that would happen, then Netanyahu would be, or whoever succeeds him, would be in control of about roughly two-thirds of the world's hydrocarbon resources. And the only country that may have more could be Venezuela. I think it would even exceed Russia. So with that, you control again, you control the world, whatever you want to do. Then there is the other plan, which, as far as I know, has probably already started to be built, is the so-called Ben Gurion Canal, which would replace the Suez Canal. Because right now the Suez Canal is under control of Muslims, of course, of Egypt. And it has, with these, with I don't sometimes I don't know whether the Yemeni know what they are doing when they are shooting on vessels, on particularly US and Israeli vessels in the Red Sea. They're actually provoking the rest of Europe not to go through the Suez Canal anymore. And so the Suez Canal has lost its luster, if you want to call it that way. And Israel has managed to damage, enormously economically damage Egypt by doing so. So if this Ben Gurion Canal will actually manifest itself, it would be probably, from the maps I've seen, it would be probably entering the middle from the Mediterranean Sea, just either at the fringe of Gaza or just outside of Gaza. And that would be another disaster, of course, because then the rest of the world would be at the mercy of Israel.
But obviously getting rid of the Palestinians, whether they're exterminated like, dogs, which is now happening, or whether they're evicted, the Jewish state wins either way. By emptying Gaza, the Jewish state of Israel wins either way. Whether they're slaughtered or evicted, it's the same result for the Jewish state of
So
Israel.
that's what has to be halted, and we don't know really to what extent Trump is serious if he says he is a peace, and he said that yesterday actually, that he is a peace president. He will not start wars, he will end wars. If that is true, then one wonders why did he occupy his cabinet or future cabinet with full-fledged Zionists, and some of them really very serious
Yeah.
and Ashkenaz Zionists, actually, you could call them, which is, which is of course not in line with what he says, that he is going to be a peace president.
Well, unfortunately, the he has over 20 multi-million dollar donations from, we got to be honest, from the Jewish lobby in the United States, starting with Marian Adelson,
Exactly. She gave him
who
a million.
100 million, she gave him
Yeah, 100 million, right?
100 million,
Yes.
and she and her family invested in the Carlyle Group, which goes back to George Herbert Walker Bush, and they are in the arms business. So,
Yes.
these people, these 20 something multi-million donations, I mean, 5 million, 10 million, it adds up into hundreds of millions of dollars were given to Trump by the Jewish lobby and in the United States. They're not doing this out of the kindness of their hearts. They're doing this to buy him. I mean, he is bought. And
Absolutely.
so
He is bought.
I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean, he can talk and talk and talk, but he's the one that put the U.S. Embassy in East Jerusalem. He's the one that's been bribing Arab countries to join the Abraham Accords, to recognize Israel as diplomatically. And so I think he could do something in Ukraine. I think he could do so. He has no choice because NATO has lost. But I don't think he's going to be able to do much in Palestine, because he's bought by the people who want to exterminate the Palestinian people, and who want a greater Israel, a Jewish state, from the Nile River in Egypt to the Euphrates, Tigris rivers in Iraq. And they're not going to.
About half of Saudi Arabia will be part of it.
The northern part of Saudi Arabia would also be a part, would be a part of this greater Israel, this Jewish state called Israel. And so I don't think he's gonna he I don't think he has a lot of wiggle room in Palestine, because they own him. They have the title and the deed to Donald Trump, the Jewish lobby in the United States. So
Absolutely.
I just don't see him doing anything other than keeping this bogus ceasefire going for a few weeks. He's already said he's already he, it's already on the record that he told Netanyahu that it's not permanent, and then they can always go back and look at it again. What they're going to do is they're going to get all their prisoners. They're going to get all of the prisoners from Hamas, and then they'll just go back to doing what they were doing, which is exterminating Gentiles, the Goyim. So I'm very, very pessimistic about the Middle East. I just do not see any solution, because they will not stop. Now they've got the Golan Heights, and now they've moved into Western Syria. They're never
They
gonna.
have all of Syria basically under control,
With the
through
Americans and
these
the
so-called terror groups which they funded and created.
and Turkey is an ally of Israel, the Jewish state. The United States is occupying Syria, so Syria's gone. Syria's no more.
I'm serious.
Did you hear that the leader, this terrorist leader in Syria, that he is actually Jewish? That back in this 20, 30 years ago, Israel created a program to secret, Mossad created this program to secretly infiltrate Jewish men to marry Muslim women. They take Arabic names and they marry Muslim women to infiltrate into Muslim society. And this guy's name is like Ben Gore, or Ben, his name is like his name is like Abraham Ben Gore or something like that. So
That
he's
particularly I've not heard, but
yeah.
I've heard about the infiltration in general.
Yeah.
That is not new, but that particularly I have not heard.
They
So, but I would be
even
surprised.
showed his picture, and the name of the program is some Roman or Greek god. Is it Cassandra, the Cassandra program, or the or something like that? They use some kind of or the Cleopatra program or something, and they actually did it. And so now they have all these Jewish men who have Arabic names and who have been infiltrated into Arabic, halls of power, to do the bidding of Israel, the Jewish state. It's crazy. I mean, you have to hand it to them. They're really, really good at what they do. They're really good.
Well, but of course, but you have to see also they don't do that alone. There is this
In the United
triad
States.
with Mossad, CIA, and MI6.
MI6, yeah, they work hand in
Yeah,
hand.
they're working very closely together. And I mean, this whole Hamas attack on the 27th, on the 7th of October was all planned 3 years in advance. So this was. This is if people start talking about as if this would have been a surprise, I just have to turn off because I cannot listen to this lie anymore. And this is being propagated constantly in the Western mainstream, although most intellectual, whether they dare talk about it or not, they know that this has been planned for a long time and happened exactly how Netanyahu wanted it. And when and exactly the time, so that the border could be left unprotected. And that has been witnessed by actually border protection senior officials that they got the order to, I think, for 7 or 8 hours, neglect the protection. So, that all of that is a background, is a very valid background to know. You have to know that, then also why the war is going on the way it is going on.
Plus they organized that techno concert or whatever it was,
Yes, exactly.
right on the border, right on the border, so that then the Israelis could massacre their own citizens, 1,200 of them. I'm sure Hamas killed a few, but a lot of them were killed by the Israeli army,
Well,
with.
there were, I think, two or three girls coming forward and telling them how Israeli planes bombarded them and killed them. I don't know what happened to them afterwards, but they came forward and they witnessed actually to some of the, of course, not the mainstream. Even if they did it to the mainstream, they would have never reported it. But they talked about it. So I agree with you. These 1,200, if there were 1,200, I doubt that number also, were killed, most of them, by the Israeli Air Force.
To give a pretext to destroy Palestine, to
Exactly.
destroy the Gaza Strip. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, what's going to happen with Trump and Europe? What do you think is going to happen there? We've got the totalitarian dictator, Ursula von der Leyen, who was not, wasn't even really voted for. I mean, she just imposes her will in Europe. She's like a totalitarian. She really is. She's a totalitarian dictator. She does whatever the hell she wants. And
Oh yeah, she was never elected, and she is. You know, the interesting thing though, I just read something today, or heard it, which is very interesting. Let me just look for it.
she is an empress. She's an absolute empress. An
Yes.
imperial an imperial empress. It's disgusting. It's
That
absolutely
would be
disgusting.
an empress would be respectable. She is not this respectable at all.
Oh,
She is corrupt. She is a scholar of Klaus Schwab, and
yeah.
apparently every 2 weeks or so she is visiting him in Geneva to find out
To get
what she
her
has.
to give her talking notes, to get her talking notes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, she is the pits. But you know what I've heard just today is that nobody from Europe, nobody of a name from Europe has been invited to the inauguration yesterday, except n not von der Leyen, not Olaf Scholz,
Yeah.
not
Starmer,
Macron,
Keir
nobody,
Starmer.
nobody.
Yeah.
Except for a certain Michael Ballweg. Have you heard about him?
No.
Michael Ballweg is very is well, I don't know very, but he is kind of famous in Germany as a businessman, about in his 40s or early 50s, from Stuttgart, I believe, and has he's one of the first one who protested against the lockdowns, against the measures in Germany. And he was eventually then, I think he belongs to the right wing AfD party,
Okay.
which of course in many ways I'm not a supporter of what they generally stand for, but what they have done more for so far, or what they actually promote in Germany, makes a lot of sense compared to what everybody else does. So he has been invited, apparently, to the inauguration. He seems to know also RFK Jr., and so he probably is very much linked up with him. This has been said in a recent interview, I think from yesterday, with the not so known TV station Bittel TV. Don't know whether you've heard about it. They follow the case of Rainer Füllmich,
Oh,
and
yeah.
in the context of Rainer, they have mentioned Ballweg carrying a message particularly for RFK Jr., who was very befriended with Rainer Füllmich, and also for Trump. So maybe that will have a positive result. I don't know, but already the sheer fact that Trump invites somebody from the right-wing party, but nobody from the official government, I think I find hilarious.
Well, also in France, nobody in France was invited except
No.
I know Eric Zemmour. Eric Zemmour was invited, and of course he has run for president, and he is right wing,
Yes.
and he is very closely aligned with the Rassemblement National, the RN,
With Le Pen.
with Le Pen, although they have gone their separate ways because he wants a piece, he wants to be president too. And the fact he was there, he was being interviewed in front of the Congress, with the dome in the background. He was being interviewed by French media. So yeah, I think Europe got snubbed big time. And so Eric Zemmour and Michael, how do you spell his name?
Ballweg, Ballweg.
Oh, Balwig. Okay, got it. All right, got it. All right. Well, Zamora is Zemmour. So he's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant speaker, and he's really unbelievable. Well, I think we'll just have to give up on Europe. I mean, it is. I mean, even if Trump manages to get the United States out of Ukraine, the Europeans have been so infected with anti-Slavic, Russia-phobic, the halls of power are just infected with Russia-phobic, Slav-hating people, except for Slovakia, Serbia,
Hungary.
and Hungary. So those are the three that have
But
any.
they're very important. You know, if Hungary, for example, they have threatened already on Orban has on several occasions. He has sort of at one point, I think I heard him say, you know, there's always the option of getting out of the European Union. I mean, of the European Union, you can get out and you're still a European. But he has also mentioned getting out of NATO. And you know, getting out of NATO is very, very easy. I don't know whether you've read
No.
the rules. You know, any member of NATO can, I think, with a 3 months' notice, say that they will leave. Of course, there will be a lot of pressure and I don't know what, blackmailing and maybe threats that I don't, of course, you know, Europe.
Yeah.
So that would be normal, but you can do that very, very easily, and nobody can object because they pretend that that countries, NATO countries and the EU countries, I think at this point you can almost put them together. You know, the EU and
Yeah.
NATO is under the same roof anyway, and at the
Yeah.
headquarters.
In
So actually,
Brussels.
they're in Brussels. So you could put them together, and actually. If somebody like Orban would have the courage to exit NATO would collapse because other countries who also are fed up with NATO might follow suit. And the same with the European Union. I'm pretty sure some of those that you just mentioned before, they have been very much threatened that they should never dare. I mean, Fico, he was almost killed.
Yeah, he was assassinated. Well,
Yeah.
an attempted
Attempted.
assassination. Yeah. Of
Yes.
course, Serbia is not a member of the European Union, and it's very much aligned with Russia. But so those are
No,
there's
but I mean,
there's two countries in the EU, Slovakia and Hungary. Well, I'd like to have seen them both go. I'd like to see France leave also. It's just the EU is. It's a Mossad, CIA, MI6 instrument to destroy European civilization, European culture, European economy, European education, with the WEF. We could just add Mossad, CIA, MI6, WEF, WHO.
No, you could continue. You know, the destruction of
The destruction of Western civilization.
exactly,
It's
and the
just
destruction of the European education system has already started
it's just awful.
in Bologna. Remember the
Yeah,
conference
the Bologna process was it
Bologna
1990,
process.
1992 or something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to acknowledge it. Me already at that time, I said this is destroying the European education process. No, are you crazy? We are just adjusting to what the United States is already doing because of the exchange of students. It makes it much easier. That's total bullshit. Total bullshit. I wrote about it. They think I'm crazy. Now I think there are lots of people who start seeing it.
My wife, of course, she's French, and she went to French public schools and went to university in Paris and got her master's in Paris and all that. Of course, she graduated back in the late 70s, early 80s. And back then, to get your baccalaureate from high school, you have to get a 10 out of 20. And it was so difficult that even a 10 out of 20 was considered to be very good. She got a 10 out of 20, and she was very, very happy to get a 10 out of 20. And now, since the 80s, with this Bologna in the night with this Bologna process, It has been so dumbed down, and I'm sorry, I'm not a racist, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of immigrants flooding into the country who can't speak French, and of course they're all brought into the schools, and no problem, no problem, and so now they've actually compared the tests. They've compared the baccalaureate tests in France, and a 10 in for Florence, my wife, in late 70s, early 80s, if that same test was given to the baccalaureate candidates today, they would get a three. They would get a three. That's how dumbed down, that is how dumbed down the education system has happened. And I'm sure it's the same thing in the rest of Europe. I mean, I'm sure it's
Oh,
because
yes, man,
it's a,
this is not a coincidence, you know that.
they can't
This is
read, they can't write, they can't
of
add, they
course.
can't subtract, they can't multiply, they can't divide. And they go, oh, they don't need to learn that. They don't need to learn. They don't need to learn how to multiply. They got
Yeah,
calculators.
calculate. Yeah.
And
No. I mean, this is all planned. This is not a coincidence. These things, they don't happen just because nobody paid attention. I think the utmost attention is paid to the fact that all these immigrants, they just have to be integrated. We have to be integrated into society, integrated into the school system, which downgrades the school system, obviously.
Well, it's all intentional. I mean, it's all
All
intentional.
intentional,
All
yes.
intentional. Well, let's move to Ukraine. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, okay. I mean, I have several. Who knows? Who knows? I've had the speculation that, I mean, Trump has already a slot reserved for him at the WEF, so he will be, in one way or another, present live at the WEF. But life could be, and for now they are saying it will be by video stream.
Oh,
And I believe
so he's going to give a speech at WEF.
yes.
Okay.
And I think the time slot that has been reserved is for Thursday, this coming Thursday. So he would be there by video stream. But some people speculate, and the WEF is being protected now by the Swiss Air Force. Can you believe the first time you have armed fighter jets
Swiss
circulating
fighter
over Kabul?
jets circling over Davos.
Yes. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
kidding. I actually, what I wanted to do. We have a little group to maintain the neutrality in Switzerland, and we're pushing this forward because it's neutrality is peace and NATO is war, and the Swiss are moving more and more towards that. And within this group, we have a former colonel, a Swiss colonel, I guess you always are, when once you have been in the Secret Service, you always are. He is part of our group, and I wrote an article which you may have seen or not, about this current WEF, and of course he got a copy of it, and he wrote me an email. I mean, it's hilarious. He explains exactly what is happening in German, but I have it translated into English, and I will forward it to you. You will see exactly, because he said you can quote me. So okay, I mean, if I can quote him, it doesn't matter that it's going out. So I'll send it to you.
So
And
he's a retired colonel in the Swiss Army.
in the Swiss Army, and he was
Okay.
with the Secret Service in the Swiss Army, so he knows
Okay.
exactly what is going on.
Okay. All
And
right.
he has a very funny way of explaining this. And I had to smile, and you will too when you read it. So I'll
All right.
send
Well,
it to you.
thank you. What really
Yeah.
worries me is that I'm really worried that Putin is going to is going to give away the store. I mean, Russia is in control. They're taking a village a day. They're just gobbling up, hundreds and thousands of kilometers of Ukrainian territory. And I'm afraid that he's going to cut a too of an easy deal with NATO and Trump. I mean, because if Odessa does not become, if they don't close off Ukraine from the Black Sea, they're going to just keep feeding Ukraine arms. They're going to keep feeding, Ukraine, intelligence. They're going to keep it's not going to work. I mean, do you really think that they're going to stop just because of an agreement?
Well, we'll see. But what I was hoping for, since this has been said by Trump already, maybe almost a year ago or more, that he will the first day he is enters the office, he will make peace. This is impossible. But anyway, even if it is fast, my speculation was, and I think I'm wrong, my speculation at that time was, or even a week ago, that he would last minute fly to Switzerland be in Davos, and Putin, who has not been invited for the last 3 years, he has never been invited to Davos, would the arrangements were made that they would actually meet somewhere.
In Davos, okay, or somewhere
Yes,
in Europe, okay.
somewhere in Europe. That was my
Okay.
speculation. Now, and that would be, of course, that would be timely. That would meet with Trump's promises that he would meet with Putin. And he has obviously talked with Putin already many times before. So they both know what the conditions are and whether they meet them or not. But now today, I have heard 3 minutes, I think it's about 3 minutes, Putin's speech congratulating the inauguration. And he mentioned in his speech that the meeting will be in Moscow. He doesn't say it, he doesn't give a date, but he said soon will be in Moscow. If this is true, then it's certainly not Switzerland. And it would also make sense, because Lavrov has often said, Switzerland has lost its credibility in
It's
terms of
neutrality,
and all of that. And he is absolutely right. Now, the West, of course, they can claim they're above Switzerland, so it would make an exception. But still, I believe it may not be in Davos.
I mean, and how do the Russians confirm that there's no military activity in what's left of Ukraine? I mean, you've got Romania on the border. You've got Poland. I mean, those people are batshit crazy. They are so anti-Russian and anti-Slav. It's frightening. So just Romania and Moldova, which has now been completely bastardized by the West, and Poland, you still have Slovakia and Hungary who are, trying to resist, but Poland can keep pumping arms into the area. Romania can, they're building the largest NATO base in the world right on Russia's border, in Romania. I mean,
I know.
Moldova's been completely corrupted by the European Union, and
I know. Already a long time ago, it's
they
just
faked
coming
the
out.
election.
I used to work on several occasions in Moldova, and already then, at that time, the world's largest recipient, per capita recipient of U.S. aid, was Moldova, by far. By far. So you know how they are bought and have been. So, and yet the majority of the Moldavan want to ally with Russia. It's logical.
Well, that's why they canceled the election of the of this George, whatever his name is,
Georgescu.
Georgescu. They canceled because he's anti-NATO and
Right.
anti-European Union, so they just canceled the election.
Yeah,
So this.
the instructions came from Brussels.
Oh
That I'm
yeah.
also
Oh,
certain.
absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, that's how this
Well,
start.
yeah. I personally, I mean, it may take a while, but I think the only way that Russia will ever have peace in Ukraine is if they get all the way to the border of Poland and Romania and Moldova and completely re and repatriate the entire geographical area that which has been a part of Russia for hundreds of years anyway.
Well,
Because
for at least 300 years, yes.
yeah, and because otherwise they will never have peace. They will the United States, even if Trump manages to stop American funding, well, the arms dealers are just going to go to Brussels and they'll just keep supplying,
Well, there I
arms.
doubt. I doubt that that Brussels, which is a total puppet of Washington, a total puppet of Washington. If Trump says no more financing, U.S. financing of arms, nor subsidizing Zelensky, then I think Europe will stop too.
But what about NATO? Because NATO's in Brussels too. I
Yeah,
mean,
but NATO is to two-thirds financed by the U.S. You know, there are only two North American countries in the 32 membership of NATO, and that's the U.S. and Canada,
Canada,
and the rest is Europe. And the U.S. finances about two-thirds of the. That's what Trump already has said during his first mandate. You know, this has to change. So they increased the budget to 2% of GDP, the military budget. I think I'm not sure whether all the members have reached that. Now, the latest figure that Trump threw out just
was
because
five
he didn't
percent.
make NATO, 5%. Can you imagine? Nobody is going to go for 5% of a military budget for NATO. NATO doesn't do shit for these people in Europe. Nothing.
Except sell arms.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, let's move to Asia. What's going to happen with China?
Yes, that's another thing
They've
which is
already had a
very
phone
important.
call. Trump and Xi Jinping have already had a phone call. What do you think is going to happen?
Yes, I know they have had apparently a very friendly phone conversation, and I'm pretty sure during that phone conversation, Trump didn't dare threatening Xi Jinping with 100% tax rate. As he said so often already in his last few weeks, he said, "Well, if China doesn't behave, we just tax them." I mean, this is his thing, and it really doesn't work. And you know, and I know why it doesn't work, because both China and Russia have reoriented their economy already long ago. Russia even before China. Russia shortly after the 2014 Maidan coup, they knew that Putin knew that there's something long-lasting going to happen, and which they can no longer trust. He always tried, but he knew that in his intellect, he knew that you cannot trust Europe, not under those circumstances. So they reoriented themselves towards the Global South. That's how the Global South came all about, basically. And with Africa and also with Latin America, I think China is both Africa and Latin America, and this of course the ASEAN countries, you know, this is number one priority that China has gone, and they have done that very, very well. The largest free trade agreement that exists, I forgot its name really, with most of the ASEAN countries, and integrated into it is New Zealand, Australia, and Japan. And those all together, they exist. I think it has become in January 2022, it has
Yeah,
become a
with China, as the is it RECEP, RECEP? I think
yes,
something, yeah,
exactly. That's what it
RECEP,
is. Yes, yes.
RECEP, yeah.
Yes.
And
That's what it is.
yeah.
And they generate within 5 years about 30% of the GDP of the world's GDP is expected. And they are already in the right direction. Can you imagine? These are huge countries economically. So with that said, Trump has nothing to do. I mean, they don't depend on the American market anymore already now. Plus, they have an agreement with and Putin is to thank for that with the last meeting in October of the BRICS. He was very clever, not admitting any new members to the BRICS, but he has created a new status,
Yeah,
which is associate members.
that's yeah.
These associate members, they have, in terms of trade, the same benefits. They trade with each other in local currencies, or they decide the currency as long as it's not a dollar. They can say, okay, we will trade in yuan, or we'll trade in each other's currency. They set up these local agreements between the central banks, and then you don't need to go through the SWIFT system anymore. And that's what it's maybe hasn't been easy, but during the past 3 years, China has worked on that and has established China and Russia, both of them, and have managed to get really out of this transfer system of the West. So this is blah blah, and Trump knows it, and many people know it that this doesn't the tariff system doesn't work. I remember when in his last year, I think in 2020, was it 20 or 19, Trump punished, sanctioned China for a number of products with about 23 or 25% tariffs. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Big publicity. I said, and China didn't say anything. China is always very discreet. I love it. They don't talk about it. So I went into a lot of research and said, okay, what does it really mean to China? And I came up with the fact that silch, it means nothing. It's peanuts what it meant for China, these higher tariffs. They had already other outlets, and they didn't need, they still don't need the United States. Actually, the United States needs more China than
Yeah,
China needs the United States.
absolutely, for all of its imports.
And what they have now, I think they have last year, and you know that China had last year a trade surplus of $1 trillion. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's
So that
unprecedented.
unprecedented. So that added to the course of their reserves, and their reserves were already over 2 trillion for a long time. They tried to pull it down, but it's not so easy because for trade with anybody, that you need dollars, because the dollar makes up about 60% of all the currencies that flow in the
Yeah,
world, of
global
all the
transactions.
exactly global transaction currencies, 60%. So it's very difficult to get rid of it, but China has a way of at least getting rid of some. And one of the ways is, and that this is not very often talked about either, but very clever, is the Belt and Road.
Of
And
course.
with the Belt and Road, they invest their dollars abroad.
Yeah, to build ports and airports and highways and
Ports and airports
hospitals
and
and
highways and
schools
airways
and
and what have you.
yeah.
The port in Peru, the port of
Just
Chancay,
opened up. Yeah, they
which was
just opened.
recently inaugurated, and not by coincidence at the same time that they had the APEC meeting.
Yeah.
and Xi Jinping was there.
Yeah.
And so what does it mean? These countries, they get investments in dollars from China. It's either a grant or semi-grant or whatever is repayable in local currencies, not in dollars, either in yuan or in local currencies. So that's one way of getting rid of your dollar profitably. And
For everybody.
everybody. And that's what they are doing. And I mean, this port of Chancay is an enormous attraction, of course, for all of Latin America. It's like a pool for export and for import.
Well,
And it's
they now have the rail line from Brazil that goes to the port, don't they? Is that rail line open now so
not,
that
yes, that's the idea. It's not yet finished, as
oh, it's
far
not
as I
yet
know.
finished. Okay. So that Brazil can export millions of tons of soybeans, and Argentina
Yes.
can export millions of tons of
That's right.
soybean.
And by doing that, you know, these countries, they start working closer together in South America. And that creates another, that generates another factor of economic growth. So, I mean, it's brilliant. It's just brilliant what Xi Jinping has invented with the 2013 Belt and Road. And that's, I've been writing about that a lot. I think this is one of the greatest ideas that came out of so far of this century.
Well, to close out on a scale of 1 to 10,
Hello, are you
hey,
still there?
yeah, I'm still there. Can you hear me? Oh, you got cut
Can't
off.
hear you anymore.
Yeah, because you got cut off. You're frozen. There you go. You're back. You're back now.
Okay, you're back too.
Yeah,
We were.
you froze up for about 20 seconds. Anyway, on a scale of 1 to 10, taking into consideration Europe and Palestine and Ukraine and China and Trump and the United States and everything else, what score do you give in terms of optimism? What score do you give the world from 1 to 10? 10 is total world peace, and one is Armageddon. What score do you give? To close
This is a loaded question, Jeff.
out. I
Well,
could. Give
let me think.
a score, and I'll give you mine.
Okay, you know what I think, what we have to do, not just because we think positive thinking is going to be great for the future, but we have to be convinced that the times will change. So I give it a 7.
Do you really? Okay, all right. I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I'm at about a 4 or 5. So I just Trump is an amazing communicator. He's charismatic. He's a demagogue. I think he means well for a lot of things, but I just saw the list of all of these multi-million dollar donations from
Yes.
basically the Jewish Israeli lobby in the United States. And these people, they want greater Israel, and they will do anything that they
Well,
will
they
do
want
anything.
greater Israel, and you know, it's not a coincidence that these two wars, Gaza, Palestine, and Ukraine, happen at the same time. There's a very, very serious connection.
So I'm really worried that the people that have paid for him are going to say, "Oh, you want peace in Palestine and Ukraine? We got arms to sell, buddy. We got guns to sell." So and we have a lot of territory to take over and exterminate all the people in those territories. So I'm a little bit pessimistic just based on his funding.
Well, yes. I mean, if you look at that, and you know, he apparently yesterday, or just in the recent days, he has nominated the father of his brother-in-law as ambassador to France, Kushner-Stad. You imagine?
Well, Macron can have him. Well, listen, Peter, this has been wonderful. We should do this more often.
Yes, let's do
Just,
that more often.
I
It's
want
not
everybody
only
out there to
helpful,
know
but it's
we have no notes. We took no notes. We have no outline. We have nothing. We just sat down and talked. So,
Exactly. I think that's the best way to do it. And
listen.
it's also fun. I love to talk with you about stuff like that.
Well, listen, I'm going to give you a Buddhist bow. I'm going to give you a Buddhist bow. And from Taiwan province in China, we're
Same
loving
to
it
you.
here. We're loving it here. And so come visit us. Bring your wife who walked in a couple of times. Bring her and come visit Taiwan province. It's beautiful. It's just a beautiful island. And we're surrounded by mountains. I mean, it's just unbelievably
Yeah, I think
beautiful.
we should talk about that a little bit, maybe outside of this. I really love to talk with you about that. I mean, this is terrific. You know how much I'm inclined Chinese, and so.
Well, listen, I'm going to say goodbye and then I'll click the button and we can talk afterwards, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye. And
Bye bye.
then I'll stop the recording. Did I stop it?